Blog Talk Radio.
When my husband works late, being at home, alone at night, hearing every little creak, it's uncomfortable. I thought I was just being paranoid. Then my girlfriend said she felt the same way when her husband travels. Until they had what she calls their Vivint talk. Vivint, my friend calls it the best home security system out there. It's super easy to use and fit right into our budget. And I love my video cameras. I can see what's going on in and around my home right from my computer or smartphone. It's actually kind of funny. I told my husband, if you're going to be traveling or working late, I'm getting Vivint. And it's made all the difference.
Call now. Not only is installation free, you'll get up to $1,500 worth of Vivint security cameras and equipment today at no charge. Seriously, $1,500. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Call 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. Restrictions apply. 48 or 60-month agreement at minimum $49.99 per month required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
Yeah. Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life. We praising Yahweh, come on. Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's cracking? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life. We praise Yahweh, come on. From the start, it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So, Yahweh, got my mind, Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself, Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory, Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the Most High, he my King, he my Lawgiver, he my Savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the Holy Scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahoah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh. The Holy Yahweh, not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he shall repay. And y'all think he sent somebody that could get killed? What you talking? Yahweh died, man. Come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied, man? You frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spitting disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day.
Shalom, 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 shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein by saying hallelujah. This day, this evening, I praise the mighty Yah for another week that he has allowed us to come before you on this sixth evening, on this great in glorious day that he has adorned before us, to bring to you once again another program of nothing but the truth. And as I let everybody know every week, all you're going to get is the truth and nothing but the truth. And the Creator ordained me to tell you the truth, and that's all I'm going to tell you. But if for a minute or a chance, or for some reason, you think I'm not telling you the truth, give me a call and we'll talk about it. Again, you can get in and listen to our program tonight by the way of internet, and you can call us up 347-838-8963. And if you have a comment or a question, all you got to do is press the number one and we will go to you. Well, first I will let you know what's going on. There's a whole lot of things going on. And let me also say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters who call in and who's listening by the way of internet, who support this program and listen every week. I thank you. And may Yah bless you to hear his divine words and let them words enter to your inner, your heart, your mind, even your soul, that you might return unto him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. So I thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for your support. And also, before we get into our program tonight, what we're going to deal with, I want to thank my beloved brothers and sisters out of Jackson, Mississippi. My goodness. If you've never been to the House of Israel, Jackson, Mississippi, my goodness, you got to go. They know how to treat you like a prince. They know how to treat you like a king. And their hospitality is above every place I done been. And that is just the honest Yah truth. And I noticed that when I was in Mississippi, some of the sisters was mad at the brothers because I didn't contact them and we didn't have good communication with one another. And consequently, the sisters took care of me more than the brothers. But it was mostly my fault. It was mostly my fault. And because the brothers, they're dynamite. I mean, they dynamite under the leadership of Moe yourself. And he has elders and other Marais there with him that are also out of sight. And so let me say thank you to those beautiful brothers, Lemuel, Marais, Charlene, Elder, Ezra, Brother Wilson, all the brothers in the house of Israel of Jackson, Mississippi. And, of course, Moray yourself. I had a beautiful time. And I also want to thank my beloved brother, Jehoshaphat, the editor and founder of the Jerusalem Chronicle, who met us in Jackson, Mississippi, strategizing, planning for something great that I will be presenting to our people. And he was there with his beautiful, lovely daughters, who are now grown up. So thank you, my brother. I love you. And also, right before I get into our program, I want to encourage everybody to start making their reservations at our upcoming Sacred Lawns, Restoration of the Sacred Lawns Conference. And this summer, it will be held in Cincinnati, Ohio, July the 16th through July the 19th. So I want to encourage everyone to try to make this. It's going to be very historic. We're going to have a beautiful time in Cincinnati, Ohio, July the 16th through July the 19th. All the hotel information, I will give you the hotel information, but right now you can go to our website, worldgatheringyisrael.org, worldgatheringyisrael.org, and you can get all the hotel information, the price, the rates, the phone number, and everything. Please go ahead and make your reservation. It don't cost to make reservations. You change your mind later on, that's fine. But try to get your reservations made as soon as you can, as possible. And I'm checking every week. So just as you support this program, I pray that you support our conference. Again, I thank the mighty Yah for allowing me to bring his words to you. And I just want to share a few things with you all. One of the things that I would like to share with you all is a little bit of what I dealt with in Jackson, Mississippi. And then after I got back from Jackson, Mississippi, I had a host of calls. I mean, calls from everywhere. And I get calls all the time from everywhere, but I got calls from everywhere. And the calls were all about the same thing. And let me tell you what they were about. All the calls were about relationship. Relationship about a husband and a wife. And of course, I dealt with this partly in Mississippi. And let me show you what I showed the brothers and sisters in Jackson, Mississippi, concerning this particular matter. And you'll read this in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. If you turn there with me for a second, Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, there's something there that is real important that Israel should know. And most Israel might know this particular scripture, but I wonder if Israel know what I'm going to ask you. It has a lot to do with marriage. And it has a lot to do with the covenant of marriage. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start reading at the fifth verse. And this is what it says. Surely I've told you statutes and judgments, just as Yah my Elohim commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation, for what great nation is there that has Elohim so near to it as Yah, our Elohim, is to us for whatever we may call upon him for. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? And then it says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And so there's something that the Almighty wanted us to teach our grandchildren, our children's children. And he wanted us to teach them something that they should never forget. And whatever this is, the Almighty said, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations. And watch the 10th verse. And it said, especially the day you stood before Yah Elohim in Horeb, when Yah said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness and cloud and thick darkness. And Yah spake to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no similitude. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the 10 commandments. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stones. And Yah commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you crossed over to possess. So here the Creator said, that day that I came down in thick darkness and clouds and smoke, and your eyes seen it, that day, don't forget. Especially the day you stood before Yah your Elohim in the wheel. And why don't Yah want you to forget that day? Why did Yah say, take heed to yourself, that you forget not those things he did that day? Because that's the day that the Most High married Israel. That's the day that Yah became Israel's husband. But the question you have to ask yourself, when is that day? When is it? Truly, if you love Yah all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul, you should know when that day is. Now, if you know when that day is, I got a gift for you. Now, everybody is not eligible to receive this gift, because I know some people listen to me all the time. They should know exactly when that day is. But some people might be eligible. And if they know when this day is, all they got to do is press the number 1, and I'll go to them. They can tell me exactly when this day is. Because this is a day he told us not to forget. We got a brother who said, we got someone who said they know when this day is. So I'm going to go right to him, right before I get into the front of my presentation. Shalom, my brother.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Shalom, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Shalom, my brother. Do you know when this is that saved his people?
When the Most High married Israel?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you say,
I'm going to have to say, just turn this down. I would have to say it was on the Sabbath day. Am I right? Hello?
That was, I hear you. That's beautiful. And you know what? If I didn't know the day, that's the day I would choose. But no, that's not the day.
Okay.
But that was an excellent guess. And I'm going to let y'all know when this day is, because not only I want y'all to know the day, I want y'all to know the month, and I want y'all to know the year. So stay tuned, because I'm gonna know when that is. So I'm going to come right back. I'm going to come back. All right?
All right.
Hold on for me. Which one you do to me? The young one, the big guy, the better one, the blue one.
All right.
Again, if you know when this day is, and this year is, and this month is, just let me know, and I'll go right to you. And that was a great guess, because that's what I would have guessed if I didn't know. But we're going to talk about not necessarily marriage, y'all being our husband. We're going to talk about marriage of the black man and a black woman. All I've been dealing with this whole week is about the relationship of the black man and the black woman. And see, it's very difficult to deal with their relationship without dealing with the relationship we have with the Most High, because the Almighty is the example that we have to look to, so we know the right type of relationship we should have. For it is His ways that teach us wisdom and understanding, and it is these ways the Almighty told us that this would be our wisdom and our understanding in the sight of the nations. And so we're going to see if we are looking very wise to other people. We're looking like we got understanding to other people. Or do we look real bad to other people? And we're going to see. And we're going to talk about this. In the first place, I want you to go. And there's one more gift I'm going to give you all, if y'all can answer another question. I'll let you know what that question is. But that's for anyone who can tell me the exact day and date that Yah buried His people. But right now, I want you to see the type of relationship that a man and a woman is supposed to have. And the reason why a man and a woman don't have this type of relationship in Israel is because they have not done what the Almighty had commanded them to do and told them to do, instructed them to do. And as a consequence, now we have broken relationships in Israel, full of broken relationships, like broken glass is everywhere. You go in Georgia, it's broken. You can go all the way out West Coast, it's broken. You can go up in the East Coast, New York, it's broken. No matter where you go, it's broken. Broken glass everywhere. And let me show you something. Go to the book of Proverbs, the 12th chapter. Proverbs, the 12th chapter. And so the first thing that a woman must know, that a man must know, in terms of their relationship with one another, they must know their position. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 12th chapter. This is what it says. In the book of Proverbs 12:4, it says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Do you know, in some books it says, a virtuous wife is a crown of her husband. Do you know, wife, when you have a good wife, a virtuous wife, she's going to be like a crown to her husband. But little do people know, little do women know, little do men know, that the word husband in this particular verse, in a lot of verses, I'm going to show you, this word husband comes from the Hebrew word Baal. And the Hebrew word Baal means master. Do you know that a husband in Israel was always a master? And when a man married a woman, he became her master. He became her master. But women don't look at their husbands as masters, even though that's what he's supposed to be. And a man don't even look at himself as a master, even though that's what he's supposed to be. Let me show you this. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy 24, and I'm going to read, let me get there. In the book of Deuteronomy 24, and I'm going to start at the very first verse. It says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because she has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a bill of divorcement and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband pays her and writes her a bill of divorce and puts her in her hands and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife. After that, she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before Yah. And you shall not bring sin on the land which Yah your Elohim has given you as an inheritance. And most people don't realize that when it lets you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, 24th chapter, the very fourth verse, when it says, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife, what it's saying really is, then her former master. Because a husband is a master. And in this fourth verse, it used the Hebrew word Baal. See, most people are familiar with the Hebrew word ish for husband. And they're not familiar with the Hebrew word Baal, which means master, because a husband is a master. But this is not how a man sees himself. And surely this is not how a wife or a woman, especially an Israelite woman, see her husband. But this is exactly what he is. He's a master. And being a master, there are certain things that you're supposed to know. See, when a true master, he knows his authority. He knows his authority. But because our men, some of them, you know, would like to act like a master, but most of the things I see after counseling various people all the time, and they act like a master, but in most cases they act like a slave master and not the righteous master that the Almighty ordained us to be. Furthermore, on this same matter, talking about the husband, and this is why our relationships are doomed, because we don't even know who we are. We don't even know who the Almighty ordained us to be. We don't even know what a husband is, the husband or the wife. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs 31. And all you got to do is look for yourself at these scriptures and look at these words. And it means exactly that. A master is someone that's over someone else. Most Israelite women know that a man is over them, but they don't know in what type of order or position or authority. They just see him as he's just my husband. And so, seeing he's just my husband, I can talk to him any kind of way. I can act any kind of way. I can scream and cuss him out. I can even put my hands on him. He's just my husband. And this is what a lot of women do. But if they understood that he was a master and really understood that this would not be their conduct. In the book of Proverbs 31, look what it says. Proverbs 31. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the relationship of the man and the woman, in particular the black man and the black woman. But Yah said, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. In other words, what would the nations look and see? What would they actually see in us that they don't even see in themselves? And let me tell you what they will see in us. They will see people who are priests, who are princes, and who are lords. This is what they will see. In the book of Proverbs 31, look at the 11th verse. Watch what this says. I start at the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her master safely trusts her. See, in your book it has husband, but in Hebrew it don't say husband. It says master. The heart of her master safely trusts her. Because you got to understand, sisters, as well as brothers, your husband is a master. And the sooner you begin to understand that, the sooner he began to understand that, the sooner you can begin to right the wrongs in your house. It not only says that in the 11th verse, look at the 23rd verse. It says, her husband is known in, no, her master is known in the gate. When he sits among the elders of the land, because her husband is a master. And it's just translated husband, but really he's a master. And then you also read in the 28th verse, her children rise up and call her blessed, her master also, and he praises her. Because I want you to understand who you really are And then it don't have to be a war between a black man and a black woman. All they have to do is know who they are. And most don't. Very few do. But your husband is a master. And let me show you and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is so. And see, once you, how do you treat a master? How is a master supposed to be treated? How do you approach one that is a master? Let me show you something in the book of Isaiah 51. In the book of Isaiah 51, this is what it says in the very first two verses. Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek Yah. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for I call him alone and bless him and increase him. And the Almighty said, if you want to follow after righteousness, look to the rock from which you came from. Look at Abraham and Sarah. And I talk to people all the time, and Abraham and Sarah are the last people they look to. And they're the main ones you're supposed to look to. Those are the ones that the Almighty named out of his mouth to look to. But people don't. And why should you look to him? Well, let me show you how you treat a master. All you got to do is look to Sarah. And how did she treat her master? Let me show you. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. And what are we talking about today? We're talking about marriage. And we're talking about the relationship between the black man and the black woman. And I can show you a bunch of scriptures why they are failing. But I'm showing you scriptures on why you can rise above that and succeed. You got to know who you are, though. And now that's why I'm dealing with that first. And I'm going to deal with a lot of other scriptures in the weeks to come to show you how you're supposed to be, how Yah desire you to be. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 10 and 12, 10 through 12. And this is what it says in Genesis 18, verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. This is what the Most High telling Abraham. And then it says, but Sarah was listening in a tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also? In other words, Sarah didn't call her husband. She didn't say, shall my husband have pleasure also? She didn't say, shall Abraham have pleasure also? She didn't call him by his name like most wives call their husband by name, and some of them call them out of their name. But when she referred to her husband, she referred to him as Lord. And she wasn't even talking to nobody. She was just saying this to herself. And she still referred to him as Lord. So you only can imagine when she's talking to him, or talking about him to somebody else, how she would refer to him. And she was just talking to herself. And why did she refer to him as Lord. Because the word Lord comes from the Hebrew word Adon. And you know what it means? It means master. Because she knew this was her master. And she referred to him as master. In the scriptures, they just translated Lord. But it just means master. Because he was her master. And she referred to him as her master. Is this how women treat men today? Is this how women refer to men today? No. They call them by their name. They call them out of their name. They call them whatever they want to call them. Holler at them, cuss them out, doing all kind of stuff. And no, this is not the ways of our foreparents. You have to return back to the old path. And this is the old path. And if you want to have a successful marriage, a successful relationship, you've got to look into Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, she didn't call him Abraham. She called him Master, Lord. Because she knew he was her master. And not only her. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. I'm sorry, Genesis, the 24th chapter. Genesis, the 24th chapter. This was a time where Abraham was sending his servant. This was a servant in his house to go and get his son a wife. And he sent his servant to his family member, to Laban, to see if there will be a woman there that will be fit for his son. And he sent the servant, and he swore, and he made his servant swear to him that he would do everything exactly as Abraham commanded him to do. And this is what Abraham's servant did. When he went to find a wife for his master. And this is what it says in the 15th verse. And it happened before he had finished speaking, because he already got there, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Nicol, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." In other words, this was just a servant in Abraham's house. But when she addressed this servant, because he was a man, she addressed him as Lord. And why? Was this just a general, like saying, "Sir"? No, because a man was a woman master. And this is how they garnered respect. This is how they showed their virtues. This is how they showed the type of woman they were when they knew how to address and approach a man. And not only Abraham was addressed that way. Not only was Abraham's servant addressed that way, but look how a father is addressed in his own home. And you don't see this today. In the book of Genesis 31, I'm going to start reading at the 34th and the 35th verse. Now Raquel had taken the household idols, put them in a camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find it. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the man of woman is with me." And he searched, but did not find the household idols. In other words, she addressed her father as lord, because this is the type of respect that men are supposed to have anyway. Because a man is a father, is a husband. I mean, a father is a master. A husband is a master. A father is a master. And this is how they're supposed to be addressed. But undoubtedly, our sisters are not aware of this, nor are the men aware of this. And we're going to get further into this, but most men today, they're not as conducting themselves as the righteous masters that our fathers were. A lot of them are conducting themselves as slave masters. And why do I say that? Because that's what they learn from our enemies. So today, if a woman don't listen to her husband, what do he do? A lot of times he just slander her, or he'll belittle her. Or he would call her out her name. And then some men go as far as to even hit and brutalize their wives. And this is a total abomination to Yah. Total abomination. What type of man would call the woman out of her name? Put his hand on a woman? Not a righteous master like Abraham. This will have to be like a slave master, somebody who try to make you low and feel low. And this is what you see today. And let me show you once again, if you had a proper type of master ruling the house, let me show you what you will see in this master in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. This is what you will see. In the very first verse, this is what it says, 2 Samuel 23:1. Now, these are the words of David. These are the last words of David. Now, who was David? David was a man after Yah's heart. Who was David? He was the king of Israel. And this is what he said, his last words. Thus said David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the Elohim of Yaakov, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The spirit of Yah spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. Then the Elohim of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. And this was the rock of Israel spoke to David. And that's why these were David's last words. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim, and he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by a clear shining after rain. Is this the type of behavior the Israelite women, the black women, seeing today? Are they seeing men and being treated in their household where see this man like the sun rising in the morning without clouds? Is that what this is? A morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth? That's a beautiful thing to see. Is that the beauty that our women see today? And I'm afraid it is not. But this is what they're supposed to be seeing. So our brothers got a lot of work to do, because they want the women to submit themselves to the master, but the only type of master they've seen is a slave master. And let me show you what the scriptures say before I go to my beautiful brothers that's waiting on the line. And I want to hear your comments on this. But let me show you what a man got to know about a woman. And let me show you when what you need to know about yourself. The very first thing you need to know about yourself, and a man need to know, is in a book, the Genesis, the second chapter. And this has got to be your strength, sisters. This got to be your strength. This is something that you can take to the bank, and nobody can take it from you. Because this is what it says in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the 18th verse. And it says, "And Yah Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him." So the first thing women need to know, and a man need to know, it's not even good for a man to be alone. What type of man don't want a woman? And what type of man would talk about a woman? It ain't even good for being for him to be alone. I see here man talking about a black woman is this and a black woman is that. Who do you think the black woman was made for? The black woman was made for a black man. How do you sound? That's like a dog saying to another dog, man, these dogs ain't nothing, man. These dogs ain't this, these dogs ain't that. Man, you're a dog. How do you sound talking about a dog, slandering a dog? The scriptures say, he that slandereth is a fool. You know, we talk about black women. Black women was made for the black man. And as a matter of fact, if you don't have that, the Almighty says you don't even have nothing good, because it's not even good for you to be alone. Furthermore, the scriptures say about this woman in the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, not only is not good for man to be alone, look what it says in the book of Proverbs 18. And I'm going to start reading at the 22nd verse. And this is what it says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from Yah. That looks like a just an outright fool to talk about women. The only one that has the authority to talk about women is the Most High. And all through the scriptures, I can show you where the Almighty talked about women. I can show you where he talked about men. But I can't show you where he gives you the authority to talk about them and slander them. You don't, that's a affront to the Most High. Yah gave you a woman, made a woman just for you, and then you're going to talk about her. That's like somebody cooking you some food, and they took their time to cook you some food and thought about you and made you this dish, and then all you did was talk about, man, that stuff was cold, man. That stuff wasn't this. That stuff wasn't that. Man, they didn't have to make you nothing. And Yah didn't have to give you nothing, but he gave you this gift. He gave you this beautiful thing, and all you can do is talk about it. And what you're supposed to do is what I'm going to show you next in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Let me show you what you're supposed to do with the gift that Yahweh gave you. in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. You don't supposed to slander her. You don't supposed to debase her. You don't supposed to talk about her. This is what you're supposed to do in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. In the 9th verse, it says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to live joyfully with the wife of your youth. Not slander her, not talk about her, not debase her. These are not the things you're supposed to do. And the last scripture I want to go to before I go to my brothers and sisters, and again, if you got any comments at all, 347-838-8963. Now all you got to do is press the number 1. This is what it says in the book of Malachi, the 2nd chapter. And what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the man and the woman, the black man and the black woman. And they seem to be at war. And they seem to have all kind of problems, like broken glass everywhere. No matter where you go, broken glass is everywhere. But Yahweh said if you take hold to these statutes and his judgments, he said this will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations, who shall hear these things and say, man, this is a wise and understanding people. And I can understand why people love Abraham and everybody's going back to Abraham and Sarah, because they knew how to conduct themselves. But are we conducting ourselves like Abraham and Sarah? In the book of Malachi, the 2nd chapter, this is what it says. And I'm going to start at the 14th verse. It says, yet you say, for what reason? Because Yah has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make you one? And him having a remnant of the spear, and why did he make you one? That he seeks an Elohimly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For Yah, Elohim of Israel, says that he hates for the way. For it covers one's garments with violence, says Yah of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. And this is what the brothers got to know. She was made for you. And if somebody gave you a gift, they could have gave you some flowers. They could have gave you some pots and pans. They could have gave you anything. And don't you supposed to cherish it? Don't you supposed to take care of it? Don't you supposed to love it and honor it? Yahweh gave you a gift, and you think you can treat it any kind of way. And he gave man the best gift a man could ever have in his life, and that's a woman. And you treat her less than you would treat other things. And she's supposed to be treated the best, because she's a gift from Elohim. And we're going to talk more about these things And like I said at the beginning, I got a gift for a couple people who can answer these two questions. The one question I ask everybody is, when did y'all marry them? Because it was important to y'all to the extent that you said, don't forget this date, especially the date that he came before us in Horea. And I want to know when that day is. I need to know that date. And number two, if there's a woman or a man who feel that truly they are a woman out there, said, look, I treat my man as a master. And a man said, my wife treat me as a master. I got a couple questions for you. And if you can answer my questions correctly, then I got a gift for you. So those are my two questions. And right now, if you have any questions, comments at all, give us a call, 347-838-8963. And all you got to do is press the number 1 on your phone, and I will come right to you. And I will go back to my beloved brother in the 770 area code. I think this is my brother, Brother McCoy.
Hello?
Brother McCoy,
how you
shalom.
Doing?
Good,
how you
good.
Doing,
I'm
man?
Back with you. Doing excellent.
I'm doing good, I had a couple of comments hold on for a second. Let me see this. I had a couple of questions about that. The reason why most black women do not respect black men, I'm going to go back to that, then I'm going to go to the other stuff first. The reason why most black women do not respect black men is because of the feminist movement. We and you had a conversation about this earlier today. That goes back to the mother. Hello?
I'm listening to you. Go ahead. I got you. I'm listening.
Okay. That goes back to the feminist movement, to the mother of all God spirits, what I mean. When a serpent told Eve that in the day that she eat thereof, she shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil, the serpent gave power to Eve. The serpent gave power over to Eve. The serpent gave power over to Eve, which is why you'll find that in most relationships, or that in most households, the woman is in charge. The woman is in charge because it's the spirit of the serpent. It's the spirit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you will find that in most religions, it goes back to the mother of all God. It don't go back to the father of all God. It goes back to the mother of all God. The only book in the world that says that the Most High is a male, and that the Most High is masculine, that the Most High is a father, is the Bible. So that's the spirit of feminism. It's the spirit of Jezebel. It's the spirit of the serpent. That's the reason why most black women don't respect black men. Now men who beat on women, they're just cowards. They don't know how to treat the woman right. They don't know how to respect the woman. So they're just cowards. They're not men at all. Those are men who are afraid to fight a man, who are afraid to fight a real man, or mostly a man who feels that he has power, who has power over the weaker vessel, just because he's a man. But they're just cowards, and they're just powerless fools. That's what I think about it. So what is your opinion? Huh?
Well, let me comment on it, and I appreciate your words, and I hear you. And I comment on the first thing concerning the women and the feminist movement. It is true there have been feminist movements, and a lot of these feminist movements come from women that were lesbians and women that hated men anyway because they were lesbians. And so this is where this movement was born out of. But as far as the scriptures are concerned, in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent had no power at all. He was just a beast. He had no power, period. He tricked Eve, but she had the authority to tell him no. She knew right from wrong, and she chose wrong. And she realized she did that. She just chose wrong. And then Adam knew even more than her. He knew right from wrong. And he went and did the same thing his wife did. But they both knew right from wrong. And so the serpent did not have power over them at all. But Eve was tricked. Then you go to Adam, was he tricked? But they already knew what was right. And the Almighty punished all three. He punished Adam, he punished Eve, and he punished the serpent. So none of them can blame none of them. They all were wrong. Yah punished every last single one of them. And the reason why women don't respect man today is because of lack of knowledge. The scriptures say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I shall reject thee, seeing thou wast no priest to me. Our women don't know how to treat a black man. Because a black man don't even know how to be a master. He don't even know how to be a husband. How can
right.
you treat a man a certain way and he don't even know how to be what you're trying to treat him? And most of men don't
right.
even know how to be a husband. And you're absolutely right, what brings me to the very next thing that you said, which is also true, which is true, is that a man to be a woman is a coward. Yeah, he's just a coward. Like I said, I mean, today, they're not the righteous master that was born from Abraham. A lot of them are slave masters. So even
right.
if they don't hit a woman,
let me comment on something. I'm sorry to interrupt you. What I was trying to say before is that I told you before. Before what this broadcast came on, that I ran into an old friend of mine. His name was John. John believed that because a woman is equally intelligent as the man, that the woman. Hold on for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
John believed. Hello.
I'm with you.
John believed that because the woman is as equally as intelligent as the man, that she has the same rights as the man. And I'm denying that the woman is equally as intelligent as the man because if you study wisdom, you will know that wisdom is a feminine spirit. Wisdom is a feminine spirit. So I don't agree. I agree that the woman is equally as intelligent as the man, but the woman does not have the moral strength, the moral, mental, or physical strength that a man has. And that's why the man has been placed over the woman. But in society today, they'll give a woman a job before they give a man a job. They'll give a woman an education before they give a man an education, particularly a black man. And then they'll write the black man off. Do something stupid, or either get killed by the police or get robbed and get put in jail or work a dead-end job for the rest of his life. So what's your comment on that?
Yeah, well, once a black man rise to who he's supposed to be, he won't even want the white man's education. He won't even want the white man's job. Matter of fact, he won't want nothing from the white man because everything the white man gives him is inferior anyway. There's nothing that they give you as is superior to anything. This is inferior stuff that they give you. So you shouldn't even want their stuff. And so the fact that they're giving a black woman a job before they give a black man and a black woman education before they educate a black woman, that's nothing to be ashamed of, because the education and the job are inferior anyway. This is nothing but slavery. This is, we're supposed to be self-reliant. We're supposed to depend on self. And if a man depended on self and worked for self and educated himself and did for self, then the black woman will respect him. But no, a black man take the white man's food stamps, he take the white man's insurance, he take the white man's jobs, he go to the white man's schools, then he take on the white man's religion, and then tell a black woman, respect me. Or why should you be respected when everything you do, somebody other than yourself gave you, just like a slave. So I think black men have to rise to their former state. And what was their former state? They were a kingdom of priests. They were princes. They were people that you can be proud of. They were called lords. Today we're not called no lord. I can't even use some of the words that we're called today. And so we got to rise to the occasion. Right. And I got other callers got to get to. So I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'll try to get back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, brother. Shalom. A very good comment. Very, very good comments by my beloved brother. Brother McCoy. And again, in comments at 347-838-8963, give us a call. And let me, before I go to anybody else, I just want to show y'all another scripture. Another scripture. And you'll find this particular scripture in the book of Genesis also. And let me get to it. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. Well, once again, the Almighty said, look unto the rock from which you were hewn. And every time I look at that rock, which is Abraham and Sarah, I'm just amazed how beautiful, how strong, how righteous this relationship was. It says in a book in Genesis 18, it says the 19th verse. No, I'm going to start at the 16th verse. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And Yah said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, and that they will keep the way of Yah to do righteousness and justice, that Yah may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So here's a man that commanded his household after himself, and the scripture said they will keep the way of Yah. They will keep the way of Yah. Will your family keep the way of Yah? And this is what you got to ask yourself. And you got to look to this rock from which we were healed. This rock was a great rock. This rock was the foundation of the birth of our nation. Who was Abraham? I looked at Abraham. And the first person I read in the scriptures that prayed for anyone was Abraham. The first person I read where a man had a vision or a dream, it was Abraham. The first person I read where a man was called a prophet, it was Abraham. The first person that I read in the scriptures where the Almighty said, this no longer, your name shall no longer be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. This first person I read where Yahweh intervened and gave a man a name that he wanted him to be called. Now, don't you see that this is the rock that you're supposed to look to? And of course, Sarah was the first woman that I ever read where the Almighty intervened and gave her a name that he wanted you to call her, and that he wanted everybody to call her, and that he wanted her to call herself. But when she called her husband, she called him Master or Lord. What do you call your husband? And let me tell you, if you looked at your husband as a master, as he really is, let me tell you how you would look at him, how you would see him in the book of Malachi. And I want you to go back to Malachi. And again, if you have any comments, 347-838-8963. And press the number one on your dial. And right now I'm going to the book of Malachi. I have a question. And I got a comment on the line. I'll go to the line. And this is my question. Two questions. I got a gift for somebody who can answer these questions. The first question I asked was, who can tell me the date, the actual date that Yahweh married his people? That's number one. And some of y'all are eligible and some of y'all are not. I'll let you know if you are eligible. And the second question, all y'all eligible for this one. If there's a man and a woman that's out there and they under the impression, they believe, well, I treat my man like a king. I treat him like a master. And a man said, yeah, you treat me like a master. I got a couple questions for you. Because it's one thing to say the words, but once I question you, then I know what you're saying is the truth. So let me go to one of our callers before I show you what's going on in the book of Malachi, the first chapter. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Mo Ray? This Brother Azariah.
Brother Azariah, hallelujah, from the house of Israel, Cincinnati, Ohio. Talk to me, my beloved brother. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's good to hear your voice once again. It's a blessed program. It was a real good lesson. And I've actually been meditating on this same subject today, so it was a blessing to hear, you know, the lesson being taught. I wanted to answer the question. I can only answer the first question because I'm not married, so I can't answer the second one.
Right. But, well, let me ask you now,
uh-huh.
Before you answer the question you're talking about is when Yah married his people, right?
Yes, sir.
And this is what I want you to do. Because I think you should definitely know. And what I'm going to do, if someone else, because I want you to stay on, and we got about 8 minutes left, if nobody else tries to answer it, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give me the exact date. And if you get it, you get the prize. And it's a real good prize, too. I mean, a real good one. And but I believe you should already win. So you're slightly eligible, but you're slightly not eligible, because I think you should know. But nevertheless, I'm going to still give you that opportunity if nobody else tries, so I can get his gift away. All right?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So I want you to answer right now. I'm going to come back to you, all right? So don't hang up. Because I think everybody else, I think everybody else either scared or they just don't know. And in either case, it's bad in either case. So I'm going to wait and see. So hold on for me, brother.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Again, we're going to go back to the book of Malachi, the first chapter. In the book of Malachi, the first chapter, we're going to read the sixth verse, and this is what it says. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. And being I am a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear, said Yahweh, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? In other words, when you're a master, you're supposed to have a level of fear. When you might ask, well, what do a wife supposed to fear about her husband? What should she fear about a man? Well, if he's a good man and he's a righteous man, she will know that she can be replaced at any time. And she would know that she would have to submit to him because this man too good to lose. And she would be on her P's and Q's at all times. And she would never know when she's tested, because no matter what man come by, she would show the type of respect that a woman's supposed to show a man at all times. Because there's a level of fear that one's supposed to show a master. And again, that's what a man, a husband, is supposed to be. And being a master, he's supposed to know that he's supposed to live joyfully with his wife. And what is joyfully? In other words, most of their relationship is supposed to be fun and happy and beautiful and mostly good times. You don't supposed to have a relationship where you regret. You're always mad. You feeling disrespected. You always feeling down. You feel cheated. You feel unloved. That's not what a woman is supposed to feel like. But if she feel that way, don't let it be because you treating her that way. Let it be because of something else. Hannah was down a lot because she done had children. Now, Leah felt unloved because she wasn't the one that Jacob selected. So all her life, she just had children trying to win his love. And, of course, when they were buried, she was buried with him. So ask yourself, is this how you treat your husband? Is he your master? And is this master live joyfully with the wife that he married? I don't know. Only you can answer that. Answer that. But if you feel you have, then I got a gift for you. And just call me. And I want to ask you a couple questions about it. But if not, if you could answer the other question, when did y'all marry up? Surely, if you remember your birthday, you remember your anniversary, and you remember your special days, you don't remember the special day that y'all married his people? Especially since he said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, take heed to thyself and forget not the day that he stood before you in Horeb. Well, I'm going back to my brother Azariah before we run out of time. And shalom, my brother Azariah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right. I'm ready because I want all the people. I want to know this day. I want to know the month. And I want to know the year.
Yes, sir. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Yes, sir. The day was the third day.
And that is correct.
The third day of the week, the month was the third month, and the year was the first year